Oh, that's good.
Ayo, hey, who's hosting this?
We don't have a host for this one, I don't think. It's more kind of jazz. It's the kind of jazz. It's like the Gaslight Cafe of
Biodigital jazz, man.
You need a band leader though.
Yeah, well, I'll be Dizzy Gillespie or one of those guys.
No, you're
I'll be Ginger Baker or
he's more of a rock. No, I guess you could say he's a jazz man. Do you ever watch that movie, Who's Afraid of Ginger Baker? A documentary?
No, it was just a film about a guy who's a fucking prick, wasn't it? It's just a guy about... He plays the drums and he's an asshole.
Ed Smith's review of Crime and Punishment. A long story about a guy who ultimately is a prick.
I thought Whiplash was a movie about a guy who plays drums and is an asshole.
No, that's a film about a guy who teaches the drums and is an asshole.
No, but the guy learning the drums is kind of an asshole.
He's also an ass. They're both assholes.
Not really. I mean, he might become...
He's such a dick to his girlfriend. Yeah. No.
She's not really his girlfriend.
He's not a good guy.
He is too busy learning the drums to fuck.
Yes. Why didn't I think of that?
She can't be bothering him
with his woman problems. He has to learn the drums.
The ending of the film might be that, yeah, he's gonna become an asshole now. There should be a post-credit scene in Whiplash where it's like 15 years later and he's dressed in that little like polo neck, J.K. Simmons, and he's completely bald. And yeah, he's the asshole.
He's yelling at someone.
Yeah,
not even someone learning drums though. He's just like...
Yeah, it's just a guy who works at like Jamba Juice or something. He's like, "Are you gonna make my drink on fucking time?" And that's the end of Whiplash.
He's at a guitar center. He's like, "That's not how you play the drums." Watch this.
He's yelling at a 6-year-old who's buying their first drum kit for their birthday with their mom.
I think he just walks into shops that sell musical instruments that aren't the drums and just goes, "These aren't the fucking drums."
And walks out. That was a good movie. I know people don't like it or something. I thought that movie is great.
I thought it was a great movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fantastic film. I love Whiplash, man.
It's kind of how, maybe because that's kind of the creative process at Bullet Points as well, is one of us will start writing an article, the other one will Skype in and just berate them the entire time they're writing.
That's not a fucking M dash.
Yeah.
And then that's a regular dash.
We do that and then go out and get in a car accident and then keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you become good writers. It's the only way.
It's how you achieve excellence. What are we doing here?
Whiplash writing.
I will say thank you, Reed, for always correcting my M dashes because I'm too lazy to type them in correctly.
Well, it seems to be a common thread amongst both of you.
I've started doing them now.
I think I noticed on the last article of yours. It's like, oh, no spaces between M dashes, and they're not just two dashes. Thanks.
Yeah. And I started putting on my own author bio as well now.
Yeah, it's the little things that make you feel like you can continue working with people when they just give you just an inch, you know?
Yeah.
Just
a little reprieve.
Just a little reprieve. This is a podcast. This is the one where we don't try especially hard, which is a blessing.
Which also means it's the best podcast that we do.
It's true, because you don't prepare anything for this. I didn't play anything for this. No. I didn't do anything, really. I just kind of... Oh, that's a whining dog. I have canceled my landline since the last recording, so that won't... Actually, the last recording when that thing rang was like a reminder. There's no point to this thing. All it does is bring spam calls into the house.
Don't you need it for your internet connection, though?
No. What do you mean?
What? Well, I mean, I don't have a phone, but I have... I think I have the utility to connect the phone should I want it, and that's what the router plugs into.
Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty complicated. I don't know. This thing, you pay a company, and then you have a telephone number in the answering machine.
Yeah, it's probably better. It's probably better in Canada. Quality of life is through the fucking floor over here, right?
No, now. The telecom system in Canada is notoriously bad. Because we have two companies and they run everything. So you have... I'm not going to discuss this. I think it's probably the most boring topic imaginable is Canadian telecoms infrastructure. But it's actually a big... It's an issue here. We get gouged. Okay?
Okay, what's a good game... What's a good game where a phone is a major mechanic?
Hotline Miami.
Or... It's not a major mechanic.
Yeah, it is. It's how you start every mission. You can't... If you don't pick up the call, you can't play.
Yeah.
Can't play the game.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess, like, does Quadrilateral Cowboy count? Because it's kind of like a phone type...
Yeah.
It's a phone kind system. Of thing.
There's buttons you press. It's more of like a freaker.
I was going to say Watch Dogs. Because in Watch Dogs, that's where Aiden Pierce has his database of like young black guys that he's gonna go and kill.
Yeah.
It's all in his phone.
Yeah,
It is funny that like they made a game for Kyle Rittenhouse before Kyle Rittenhouse was like born.
Well,
they somehow predicted the arrival of Kyle Rittenhouse and made a game for him.
Is Watch Dogs maybe? I think it goes sort of under notice for how evil it is, that game.
Yeah, it does. It does because they did the kind of repentance a little bit with Watch Dogs 2. And
Watch Dogs 2 is actually all right, I think.
It's just very boring. Watch Dogs 2 is just kind of boring. It's got a good sense of humor, I guess.
Yeah, the writing is good, but it's like the world's kind of dull.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of missions where you're kind of piloting that little remote control car, and
I don't like that kind of
looking at shit.
Yeah, why was that a thing for so long? It's like, you know what, gamers love RC cars.
What if you could play a game within the game?
Gamers and 47-year-old men in the park. This overlap.
That stupid fucking thing in Metal Gear Solid 4. What's it called?
The Metal Gear Mark II or whatever.
Yeah, the Mark II that's like Otacon lives inside of it. Yeah, I hate that thing so much.
I think you end up just not using it that much.
Yeah, exactly. The game keeps reminding that Otacon's always on the codec, being like, "Hey, Snake, remember you can use the Mark II." I don't know. That's Otacon's voice.
No.
Hey, Snake, you can use the Mark II, and you just you never use the Mark II. I think I have this thing I think against gadgets in general. I think gadgets are bad.
How about the
most most boring part of like a James Bond film is when he has to use a gadget.
I like when Q shows the gadgets, though. But I don't really...
Yeah.
That's enough for me.
Yeah. I don't need to see him. That'd be funny if, like, every film, Q gives him, like, a briefcase full of shit, and then... As soon as he leaves Q's office, he just, like, slings it down the corridor. Just, like, throws it through a closed window. Like, I don't need this fucking bullshit.
It's like the Doom guy response in the remake.
Yeah,
he just punches it.
Yeah,
he throws it on the floor and like grinds it into the floor like a cigarette right in front of Q. Like these 3 million pound high tech glasses. It's like,
that is essentially probably what our spy apparatus is doing for our governments. Like they are burning billions of dollars of tech supplies. They're probably like accidentally crashing it because they don't know how to use a computer.
There should be you could do that with like you could do like a Splinter Cell where he's Sam Fisher would be like 95 years old by now. And yeah, you could do one where he just like doesn't know how to use, just like covered it, just like covered in all of this shit, and he doesn't know how to use any of it, and he's just sitting in one of those little patches of shadow, freaking out.
And he opens the wrong link and it all crashes. He opens a phishing link and then it gives all the secrets to some rival.
It just starts making a loud alert klaxon.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, oh, shit.
It's one of those like personal alarms that starts going like, Jesus Christ, Fisher, the whole building's on alert. God damn it, Lambert.
Well, that's what was the first Bond that Q was in?
He's in he's kind of in Doctor No, but in Doctor No I'm gonna just keep this fucking short. In Doctor No, Bond meets the armorer, whose name is Major Boothroyd, who replaces Bond's Beretta with the PPK, right? Mm-hmm. But that guy is played not by
Dirty Des.
Desmond Llewellyn. It's not played by Dead Desmond Llewellyn. I can't remember the name of the person who played that guy, but yeah. So that's like a different character. And then he turns up in From Russia with Love.
Oh, so right at the beginning, huh?
Yeah, he's there right from the start.
And it's Desmond Llewellyn the entire time.
Yeah, and then he died, and they replaced him with John Cleese as a character called R.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. He was in two films.
And John Cleese is then, like, just make sure only... I don't know.
I know where you're going.
I'm not at my best right now. Just make sure no woke agents get their hands on these Bond. Yeah. That's what he says.
That's right.
That's what he says. Yeah. And then Terry Gilliam comes in and animates a big boot and then is like a pedophile or something. I can't remember. I can't remember what happens. That's my Monty Python.
That's exactly what.
Knowledge. And then it's like
that's exactly what
that little weedy guy. He's pretty good as Q.
Yeah. Ben Whishaw as Q.
Yeah. Little weedy guy.
Yeah.
Oh, the new guy?
Yeah.
The new Q?
With the mop of hair.
He was Q from Skyfall onwards. So Skyfall, Spectre, and No Time to Die, you get Ben Whishaw as Q.
Mm. No Time to Die.
So the best Q.
Well, Desmond's got the hours on him. If Ben sticks with the role for another 50 years.
Oh, just longevity, that's not enough. That's not a quality.
Sure it is.
Assessment.
It's a British series.
What?
It's...
You know, there's actually a podcast out there where they've had like a 60 to 70 minute discussion about like who is the best Q and why and what makes a good Q.
You mean For Your Ears Only, the abortive bullet points podcast with James Bond?
The abandoned bullet points podcast, yeah.
All right.
That podcast exists in your imagination.
Oh, it exists in my...
as what we should be doing instead of bullet points.
I genuinely don't think I have any of the recordings of that show left anymore.
I might have them somewhere, but I can't be bothered to try to find them.
We'd have to start from the beginning.
No, that'd be too much.
Yeah.
All these things...
Would it be, Reed?
Would
it be...
Listen, I've played all of Kingdom Hearts.
It'd probably be less time spent watching the movies than playing Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, it was...
Or Final Fantasy 13.
If it was a choice of doing a series of 25 games or watching 25 Bond films, I would definitely do the Bond thing. Yeah,
and Bond films are culturally... No, Call of Duty is as well, but... Anyway, that's not the problem with that. The thing is, I just don't like to do things again that I've already done for no reason. Should we do some questions? No, we want to talk about Fallout, don't we?
Well, we've got lots of... Speaking of things
keep coming back, even though no one asked for it.
Oh, everyone wants it. They love Fallout. It's like the 50s, but the future.
Begging for Fallout.
Has anyone actually, have any of us seen the show? I haven't watched
it. No. I've seen the trailer. No,
I haven't watched it. I've not watched the trailer.
Fucking yes. That is exactly what I wanted to know.
Walton Goggins is in it.
I'll watch
it. So you've got Walton
Goggins. Walton Goggins.
There's Walton Goggins. There's Kyle MacLachlan.
Whoa, MacLachlan.
For real? MacLachlan's really in it?
MacLachlan's in there.
Dropped his stapler down some
stairs. He plays a Brahmin. He plays a super mutant behemoth.
Boston Brahmin.
They've got Kyle MacLachlan, and then
damn, that's good radioactive coffee.
They've got that.
That's good coffee from radiation.
They've got that lady who was in that show, and everyone was like, "The show is good," and it was the worst fucking show I ever watched.
What was the show?
Yellow Jackets.
I have no idea.
Was like,
what the hell is that?
Lord of the Flies meets Alive meets getting hit in the head with a hammer repeatedly. It's like, it was a show where it's like this girls like high school soccer team, and they're like flying to go to a competition, and their plane goes down, you know, like Alive, and then they're like in the woods, and then they're like trying to survive, and then it keeps flash forwarding to the ones who survived as adults, and then they keep being like, "We did something terrible," and you're like, "Yeah, you obviously you fucking ate some people." And then there's like this part where, I guess these are spoilers, you keep waiting for the thing to happen all season, and there's like some witchy kind of, not witchy, some
just like culty,
yeah, and you're like,
things happening,
what's gonna happen? Yeah,
animal masks and whatnot.
Yeah, it's, oh, is it spooky? They made masks out of wood that look like animals, and then you're like waiting for this to happen, and at the end of the season it reveals that this happened because they ate mushrooms, like psychedelic mushrooms, and so that made them all go insane and start being culty, and they like eat someone or something.
It's because they took real? Mushrooms.
They took mushrooms. Yeah, it's like,
oh,
a dare ad, essentially. It's anyway.
I didn't even. I feel so mad now because I watched like half of the season and I was like, "This is, I don't know where this is going," and I stopped. But now I want that half of my time back.
It sucks.
I didn't realize,
man,
that's where it was going to end.
Do you think like?
In,
I thought there was something real was going to happen. Like, they're actually going to, like, Lord of the Flies it for real.
December 2022, the series was renewed for a third season, which will premiere.
Why is there more episodes? Like, what more is there?
Because we don't know exactly how far they descended into.
Who cares?
Into mushroom into inflamed insanity.
Gentle psychedelic hell.
Which, yeah.
Into mild drug-induced discomfort.
There should be like episodes where they're just kind of like, "I need to go to the store." No, you go to the store. It's scary out there. I don't want them to ask me to buy, like, I don't want them to have the exact change. What if they want change?
Yeah, there's one where they they smoke a tiny bit of weed, and then they're like, "I don't want to turn the record over. I don't want to turn the record over either. I'm comfortable."
I think you should go the other way, and it's like they smoke like half a joint, and then they burn down their own house and like eat their legs. And everyone's like, it's about mental health.
Well, this show's probably about mental health or something. I don't know.
TV mental health. Is Fallout a bit about mental health?
Remembering Lord of the
Don't know, but
everyone they killed Piggy. That was sad.
Well, he deserved it for being.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, he's a big fat boy, so we're going to kill him.
It sucks to your asthma.
It's a bloody metaphor for society and everything, because he's got glasses and he's fatter than us. Fucking. Yeah, it's like, I get it. You know what I mean? That book, the entire time I'm reading that book, I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's like Animal Farm, isn't it? It's like you read that when you're kind of 13.
Yeah, Lord of the Flies has more of a story, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
And it also has a rotting pig's head speaking to them.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah,
that's a little juicier, you're right. Fallout has a guy in it called Michael Emerson, who, like, you definitely don't know his name, but he was that guy in Saw, in the first Saw, who you think is the guy.
Oh, and then he's not.
He's not. He's called like Zed or something, or Zeke. And you think he's the killer, and then he isn't. Zep. He's called Zep. Yeah, he's Zep in Saw.
Fallout is
He could also be Zep in Fallout. That's a Fallout ass name.
Well, no, his name in Fallout is even better. His name in Fallout, and I'm not even joking.
Clorpo.
Siggy Vilsig.
Okay.
Siggy Vilsig.
What was I gonna say?
Ziggy Stardust will Sig.
Fallout.
Ziggy played at Rolling Fallout. Sorry, go on.
Fallout is, I think the best thing to do is you see, like, a friend of mine showed me Fallout in, like, whatever, when I was like 14 or something, and I was like, that looks cool, and I never played it, and that was enough. And then I played Fallout 3, mm-hmm. and I was like, yeah, and that was more than enough. I don't know. I don't hate Fallout. I don't care about Fallout. It's a terrible subject for this show because I just can't feel any way about it. You know?
Well, let's talk about another game that should have a TV show then.
Oh, that's...
Go ahead. Let's talk about a game. What would be the greatest game that you could turn into a TV show?
Okay. Okay, this is good.
Because I'll tell you what, I've been thinking a lot this week because I started rewatching Better Call Saul, which I think is a good show. I think it's way better than Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And in that show, you've got there's Michael Mando.
Yep, Voss.
It's Voss. I've been thinking a lot this week about Voss. Just like as a kind of like cultural object, I've been thinking a lot about Voss.
Don't think about him too much, or you might go crazy.
Far Cry 3. I ever tell you the definition of insanity?
Is that his voice? That sounds like told you that Inigo Montoya.
That was a little bit more kind of, yeah, like Antonio Banderas or something in Desperado. But I can't really do his voice. It's just like a kind of generic Mediterranean thing, I guess. Insanity is sticking the same fucking thing in your ass over and over again.
You can't.
Expecting it's going to make you come. That is crazy.
All right.
Have I ever told you the definition of insanity is sticking things in your ass? Oh, it's called ass. It's like it's just like with a capital A and then two A's and then an S, and it's called ass. Did I ever tell you the definition of ass?
You wake up and like, he's like, yeah, monologuing.
Yes, ass,
this.
You did.
He's monologuing this at you. You come to my island.
Did I ever tell you the definition of ass? You come to my island. You try to take things out of my ass. And look what happened to you now.
Yeah, and then there's...
You know what, I'm kind of scared now because I really think they are going to make a Far Cry TV show.
They can't.
It's only a matter of time. It's so easy.
Well, they basically did. Like, they've done like live action shit to go along with the games before.
Oh, they did?
Like Giancarlo Esposito being like...
Yeah, and there was one with that guy Joseph Seed. The hyper fertile villain from Far Cry 5, Joseph Seed, and yeah, they did one with him.
That's basically like a fake Justified season.
Yeah,
I should probably watch Justified, huh?
Hell yeah, brother!
I love
it's like
Timmy Elephant. I love him.
Timothy Elephant packed his trunk and said goodbye to the circus.
And then he went to practice law in Kentucky.
The kind of like cultural nexus there, where you've got like Justified, I think there's a kind of version of that guy who is also a version of like David Koresh, and then Far Cry 5 does a version of the Justified guy who is a version of David Koresh, and it's just this like cultural fucking big crunch, isn't it?
Well, it's that's what we call
media.
Why am I blanking on this? Who is it? Is it Baudrillard? With Disneyland,
yeah,
and
hyper, yeah, whatever the fuck,
and yeah, it's all it is, man. Nothing means anything anymore. If you can get to the meaning, you'll be too exhausted to care about it when you get to it.
Images on images,
yeah. Images on.
But I do think that Voss, they should just bring, they should just make him. He should be the guy, Voss. He should be in the show lead.
It's a show called Voss. It's like it's a gritty origin story, like. Like it's Gotham.
Voss, a Far Cry story.
There you go.
Voss, a Far Cry story.
All right.
It's Voss, a Far Cry story.
I'll and see you in Montreal when you're working for Ubisoft TV studios.
There's a little boy, Ubisoft. The first scene is him as like a little boy finding a dictionary, and he just opens it and it falls open at I. And he just like scrolls his finger down. And he's like, oh, so that is what it means. And then it like fades to black.
I must tell the world.
Yeah, that's That's his character. He just walks around with a dictionary being like, did I ever tell you the definition of adjacent? Did I ever tell you the definition of bilateralism? And I was just like,
his dad is like, shut up, Voss. Go to school. Stop trying to tell everybody what the definitions are. You don't understand, Dad.
You don't understand. I've got this book. It's called a dictionary.
It's full of things here. People
probably don't know what insanity means.
We should do something with Far Cry 3. It's probably time, isn't it?
Oh, hell no. Fuck off.
Don't ever want to go near Far Cry 3 ever again.
See, Reed, you need to stop.
But I suggest things like I don't want to do them, but I think like, well, this.
No, I know you don't want to do them. Yes.
It'd be
you
cool.
Just want like, to get the, you just want the whip again.
If you got paid a bunch of money, these things would be more worthwhile. I would play through Far Cry 3 and like write about it and podcast about it.
If you give me some money to do it, I'd probably do it.
How much money?
Well, what are you asking me to do?
To play through Far Cry 3, write an article about it, and then record a 1.5 hour podcast about it. 90 minutes. Feature length film.
I would need £300. Minimum.
That's not that much money.
No, it's not that much money. Like, but it's not like that hard of a. Yeah, but
you can throw on a podcast.
I can cope with that.
You can just.
Yeah.
I want a trip to a Pacific island
where
there are kidnappings happening in the news, but this probably doesn't affect me. Put me in a plane, one way ticket, Pacific Island. Put some drugs in my pocket.
Yeah. You'll learn
maybe
the definition of insanity.
Give me a dictionary. Then I'll write it. Then I'll write the Far Cry 3 retrospective. The game that we all made fun of incessantly, but really it was actually brilliant. Yusuf Cole, byline, IGN.com.
That's the twist.
What's the...
Oh yeah, I'm writing for IGN.com. You're paying me, but I'm going to write it for IGN.com. Oh,
do you remember that they bring him back? They bring him back to life, that DLC thing in Far Cry 6.
Yeah, I didn't play those though.
What?
And it's
why?
Called. It's a DLC episode that's literally called Far Cry Insanity, and you play as Voss. You play as Voss, and you're in this like dreamscape where you have to keep. killing new iterations of Jason Brody, who is the hero of Far Cry 3, who stabbed Voss.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good.
And you kill him by like throwing, like, as a word game, where you gotta type the definition of insanity really fast.
Yeah, it's like typing of the dead. Like Jason Brody pops up and goes like, what's the definition of contumacious? Oh, fuck me. Da, 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 da.
I know this one.
What was...
Okay, let me give you some vast quotes from IMDb.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Let's have some
vast quotes.
Yeah, let me add it.
Okay, you are angry, Jason. You are angry. I get that. I get it. I mean, without family, who the fuck are we?
Okay. That's good.
Whoa, Voss, settle down.
There was a time I would do anything for my sister. I mean, the first time I ever killed was for my sister. Not enough for her. No, 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 please. Oh. You see, the thing about our loved ones, right? Our fucking loved ones, they come and they blindside you every fucking time. So they say to me, they say, Voss, Voss, who the fuck is it going to be? Them or me?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm playing it as...
As Michael Mando would. Michael Mando is...
He's not a
bad actor, though. Yeah, I think he does a fine job.
He's really good.
He's really good in Better Call Saul.
He's great in Better Call Saul.
He's very good at being like, so you good. Feel bad for him, and then you're also like, oh, this guy is like a fucking monster, you know?
Yeah. He's so good.
Canadian fella. You know that?
But
let's look him up.
He's what? Yeah, he's Canadian. Canadian fella. Yeah.
From Quebec City. Wow.
Who? There's a quote here. Like someone's added this to the page of vast quotes, and it just. And the quote is: "We are so fucked. We are so fucked up, Jason." And someone thought it was necessary to kind of you know, emblazon that forever on the Far Cry Wikia.
Oh dear.
So he is the voice and likeness of Vas Montenegro, a major character of the 2012 video game Far Cry 3. He also starred in a web series called The Far Cry Experience as Vas, who captures and tortures Christopher Mintz Plus, who you might know better as McLovin from Superbad.
Have you not seen that? It was when they were doing like interactive new media bullshit. Yeah. So like every episode, you can watch it on YouTube. Every episode is Vas with McLovin in like some kind of torture device.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's wacky.
Yeah, and then Vas like looks at the camera and says, "Now it is up to you. You have to vote. Does he live or does he die? Do I torture him or let him go?" And then like a week would go by and everyone would vote on, you know, whether like
McLovin
fucking like sticks his dick in McLovin's mouth or whatever. And then there'd be another episode.
Far Cry Experience, yeah, 5 episodes, 2012. In the 2020s, Mando would reprise his role as Vas for Far Cry VR Dive into Insanity. And Far Cry 6. Unfortunately, he did get fired from his upcoming American crime drama television series due to a physical altercation with another cast member.
Yeah, he showed up dressed as Vas.
Wait, this was Vas or McLovin?
This was Vas. He was working on a TV series, and yeah, he got fired because he got into like a punch up with somebody.
So he's canceled, and he can't be the star of our show.
Oh, you can't make Vas without
the Far Cry story. Yeah, well, how do we rehabilitate Vas? Like,
I wonder if he'd do the podcast.
Maybe attach him to like a library campaign about reading dictionaries.
I think he turned up to the set of this show that he was working on dressed as Vas and started throwing his weight.
You don't do that, no.
Yeah. With like, he had like that mohawk and all the kind of tape around his fingers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He buried someone
from punching so just much.
Like, went over to the craft services table and just like cleared it with one hand and was like, "This is fucking crazy."
Your Vas impression and the director sucks. It's not good.
The director came over and was like, "Vas, calm down." I can't do
Vas?
An impression of Vas.
Your impressions are often pretty good.
Yeah.
But that one.
I can't do that guy. I've not really practiced that guy enough. He's more high pitched than I'm doing. I'm just doing him like, it's just like a kind of faint, like Spanish thing, maybe.
All right, so what?
I don't know. I don't remember what he sounds like. So that sounds like it's good for me.
He's got he is more. He's kind of like a higher kind of more sing-songy voice.
He just kind of sounds like
he's more like. No, don't.
It's not going to be good. It's going to be offensive in the process.
Yeah, it's going to be like a fucking hate crime if I try to do an actual.
Don't do that. Games that should be TV shows. That was
none. They shouldn't make them into TV shows. Next question.
I think Yusuf's done it. I mean, it's against the kind of like yes and rule of, you know, like improv comedy. But I think in this case, we can kind of make an exception.
All right. There was this one thing where I guess people on the internet were like, "What are the people in the Fallout TV show's stats?" It's not nice to make comments about strangers, but what are our stats in the Fallout universe, Yusuf? What are you?
Well, I'm actually more curious about what Walton Goggins' stats are.
I
feel like
charisma.
He's kind of definitely he's good. He's a talker.
So what have you got? You've got strength.
He's got
perception.
A lot of
I think he's got low strength. I can't believe we're actually doing this, by the way. But
low strength.
I think he's got quite high perception because he tends to choose like kind of good stuff.
No, let's not do this. This sucks.
Hold on, I'm trying to remember what stats are for Fallout. Hold on, I gotta Google.
I got into
it's strength.
I got into use of spirit,
endurance,
just
charisma, intent. Can I just finish saying what all the fucking things are?
It says special.
In the fucking special.
It says special.
Categories, yeah, yeah, yeah. Please.
The special, yeah, stats.
And I want to say, I want to say them all out.
Polar bears.
I want to say them all.
Snakes, polar bears, egrets.
Yeah, actually, I think condors. Goggins has high strength but low endurance, you know, because he has bursts of strength.
It's like strength in
Justified, yeah.
Oh, forget it.
Which you haven't seen, Reed. If you had watched Justified, you would know Walton Goggins is high strength, low endurance.
He's got good endurance.
Uncle Baby Billy. No, he doesn't. He's all like explosive pop. The whole point is he has no endurance because he's always like he's jumping from job to job.
Who are you talking about now?
You seen
his character in the Royal Tenenbaums? No, Righteous Gemstones. He plays a itinerant like scam artist preacher.
He's named Uncle and Baby Billy.
He's like all about the quick burst of energy, followed by a very long, extensive hangover.
The problem is we can't do this properly because none of us know what special stands for, and there's no way to know.
There's simply no way to know.
Ed?
It's strength, perception.
But like the thing is, if you were to look at their other stats included, what is
intelligence, agility, and then the thing is luck.
That if you
Yeah, I fucked the bit up though now because I've said them all. So
yeah.
So you can stop though, because I did it.
All right. Well,
Do you remember when Matthew Perry was in Fallout New Vegas? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
The voice, the performance that he does in that game.
Yeah, I don't think that was a good idea.
The Matthew Perry?
No, because you can recognize his voice too easily.
Do you think?
Yeah, that's another Canadian, Matthew Perry. That's it.
I see you like leaning back in your chair with your hands behind your head, like, he's Canadian too. Yeah, another Canadian. Don't have to say thank you or anything. That's just another Canadian.
He's another Canadian. He once, I think, bullied Justin Trudeau. I think is the story. He's an Ottawa boy.
In school?
Yeah. They went to the same school.
Okay. All right. He's just gone up a couple steps in my book.
You know, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Tom Cruise lived in Ottawa as well for a long time when he was growing up.
Tom Cruise doesn't live.
No.
That's the end of the sentence.
Yeah, he's like a... I think he's a vampire. Yeah.
He quote-unquote lived in Ottawa.
Do you want to know if anyone else is Canadian?
Tom Cruise is a revenant.
Let's move on to the questions.
Let's move on to the
questions. I feel like so anti-Fallout discussion. We're just...
What is...
I had so much good shit lined up.
Do your Fallout things. What is it? Someone sticking a Pip-Boy up their ass or something?
No, not for Fallout. Just like I just have other things. Like, can I just like one of my notes here for the show is Michael Caine and Lynch. Which I was really looking forward to.
All right, let's. What do you got there? The problem is Caine and Lynch have like iconic lines. Really,
I'm gonna try and like I might just try and like circle back around to it.
Michael Caine.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
Because it's not just that I like the Michael Caine impression is not so good, but like Lynch is quite easy. Like, God damn it, Caine, we've got to get out of Shanghai. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And then
is that about right? Like, that's kind of Lynch. I mean, it sounds a bit like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, I think you got to speed it up a little bit. There's a little bit more like cocaine energy.
It's
to
too.
It.
Yeah. God damn it, Lynch, we've got to get out of Shanghai.
Yeah, yeah, that's something to it.
Kind of like that. I've already told you 1,000 bloody times. I've already told you we've got to get out of bloody Shanghai. And that's it. That's Michael Caine and Lynch. And that's like as far as I got.
Do the Michael Caine says something about his daughter, right? That's a Caine thing.
Oh, yeah, like Caine's into his daughter right here. I've got to get out of it and go and find my bloody daughter. For the last time, Lynch, if you don't start behaving, we're going to have a bloody problem.
And then what?
Okay, Michael Caine, I'm sorry.
And then imagine Michael Caine with just like the milky eye and the scar over it. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Michael, it's just, it's my, how about, it's Michael Caine and David Lynch. And that's Caine and Lynch.
What's the name of Lynch's girlfriend that gets killed?
It's like Sue.
Yeah, Sue. All right, so
Jesus Christ, Sue!
They killed Sue.
Holy shit! They've killed Sue. I bloody told you they were gonna kill Sue. I knew they were gonna kill Sue as soon as I got off the bloody plane.
There you go. There you go.
I never should have come to Shanghai. It's not my fault. And that, yeah, I know. That's
and then cool. On and on and on.
And on and on and on, yeah. But for only two games. For two games, one of which is 4 hours, and then Yahtzee Croshaw says it's the worst game of the year.
Did he say that?
Yeah, because he's a stupid asshole.
Yusuf, you seem like you've checked out entirely, so we'll have to recalibrate a little bit.
I'm just listening.
That's what people say when they're falling asleep at a small gathering.
I'm here, I'm up.
That's what, you know, a dad
let's
says.
Let's talk about Sisu.
Okay.
Do you know I knew a cat named Sisu?
Really?
It's a pretty good cat name.
Was it owned?
The only problem is his owner was
a Finn.
He was a Finnish American kind of insane person. So
was it,
maybe it tracks with the movie.
Was it the guy from Control? Was it Aki?
From Sisu? Wait. Is that the doctor?
No, that's
the
janitor.
The janitor. No, he was like a regular dude. But he was like, he was kind of weird.
Sam Lake.
What does he keep calling Alan Wake in On the Way 2? He's got like a name for him.
Gov.
Gov. Yeah, that's it. That's what the Finnish say.
But
right, Gov.
Bubala.
Oh, I'm from Finland. Bubala. Yeah, he keeps calling him Bubala.
Partner.
What we wanted to do with Alan Wake 2 was inject some genuine Finnish culture. Howdy, partner. My name's Arti.
Arti,
I'm from Helsinki, Finland.
What does he call him? He calls him something fun.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is, and it's going to bother me now.
It's okay. Some things are mysteries.
But never mind. Anyway...
But with Sisu, though, I mean, I feel like we found the thing that would break Voss, because that's a word that can't be translated.
Can't be translated, yeah. It can't be. Oh. It's a film...
There's no English definition.
Unless he has
suffices.
Yeah.
It's impossible to translate how fucking shit Sisu is as a film.
See, this is my thing. This is all I'll say about it, is I watched that movie... I also had the flu when I watched it, so I fell asleep and like rewound and then like woke up, and so it was sort of fragmented. So my opinion is maybe a grain of salt, but I don't understand how you could have sort of any strong feelings about it. Like, to me, it was just sort of nothing. Like, it was like, I don't know. To me, I was like, it was fine. It helped me pass some time. Basically, that's how I felt.
I think the film kind of thinks more highly of itself than that. Like, the film thinks it's fucking dead clever and
you
kind of
so?
Ballsy. Like, there's a bit where all of the Finnish women that have been captured by the Nazis kind of emerge from the from the smoke in a line, holding like MP40s, and the film's like, they're in slow motion. It's like down, 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 and it's. And, you know, it's like, yeah, you thought these were just women, but look at them now. there's just a lot of stupid shit in that film. It's a stupid film.
Is like, it a Finnish film?
Yeah, with a question mark. Yeah.
It's where they're all talking in English.
Yeah.
Like, and they all understand each other perfectly.
Probably to cut through the fact that you'd have German and Finnish, right?
Finnish.
Because there's lots
I get the idea. I get the reasoning, but...
languages.
It's a...
But I feel like it makes it feel cheaper, you know? Something about English on it.
The director made a movie I did like that was called Rare Exports. and mm-hmm. it's a Christmas movie that's just like fun. It's like a horror comedy Christmas movie. It's Finnish. The director is Finnish.
Okay.
You'll probably watch that and be like, this sucks. You gotta watch that Christmas though when your expectations are lower for themed
movies. I like the sound of that. I watched a really good movie maybe last week with John Boyega in it called Breaking. Anyone seen this film? Anyone seen Breaking?
No.
Breaking's fantastic. So it's like it's a true story. Dancing. It's like a one-to-one true story. It's
about dancing.
And John Boyega plays this guy who was a U.S. Army veteran, and then he due to some sort of like malfunction with the system, they didn't pay him his like Veterans Association allowance 1 week, and he was like stone broke. And he also had like a kind of litany of mental health problems. Like he was kind of borderline schizophrenic. So he went to this bank with a backpack and said that there was a bomb in it and demanded that the VA pay him like $850 or something that they hadn't paid him.
Hmm.
And yeah, the film picks it up from there, basically.
So it's like a...
What's
that Denzel movie? I saw part of it when I was a kid and I haven't seen it since.
Are you thinking of Inside Man?
No, it's the one where he like needs money for like his kids. Is it his kid or his wife or something? Like someone needs like a surgery, and it's America, so he goes into a bank and he's like, or a hospital, and he's like, "Do this, or I'm going to kill all of you." And he is like has a hostage situation going on.
I don't remember that one. I don't know that one.
I like a good hostage movie. Yeah, you know,
I like a good hostage movie as well. I like a good hostage movie.
Get some good tension right away.
Hmm. Yeah. Since there's a hostage involved, there should be like a... We should make a game with more... Make a game with hostages in it. Like, there should be more hostage games.
Should there be? Well, how would that work?
Probably not. But I'm just saying things in response to what
someone else... I'm thinking about it. Like, is it... Because obviously the RoboCop game had hostages in it, and that was really annoying because then... They kept getting shot.
Call of Duty is hostages. Yeah,
which I guess is what would happen.
They're stupid hostages because that's like... They're like the Counter-Strike hostages where they just have like three lines and they just stand still. I'm talking about a game... I don't know.
I think Payday has them.
Let's talk about something else.
What about... this movie is... You know, one half of it not so great anymore, but the film The Negotiator starring... Samuel L. Jackson.
Starring who?
And,
starring that guy from Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Yeah. The guy from Call of Duty Advanced Warfare and nothing else.
What's his character called in...
You know what would suck to watch now? Usual Suspects would suck to watch now.
Yeah. So as soon as as soon as it came out, you know, what happened about Kevin Spacey, I created and sent to my friends like a huge kind of volume of edited images where like Chaz Pelementary kind of drops his coffee because he realizes that Kevin Spacey is but you can see where I'm going with this, right? You can see where I'm going.
Yeah,
with this.
Yeah. Not in the like best taste it writes itself. But yeah, yeah. That is
it writes itself. And then I did one with like The Box in Seven.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay.
He's called he's called Jonathan Irons in Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Yeah.
there's a thing on the Wikipedia page that's like a kind of like it shows the two stars of the game and it's Kevin Spacey and then alongside him is a picture of Troy Baker. It's like that game is a real fucking charm offensive, isn't it? That game is all the stars are here. All the big popular stars.
There was a lady in it too. Remember?
Was there?
Or maybe that was a different Call of Duty.
Well, it kind of awkwardly, given that Kevin Spacey's in it, another star of the game who was in the zombies mode was Rose McGowan. Which is...
Gee, what? That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then...
And Harvey Bill Weinstein Paxton was in a the player? Mode. Was in the zombies mode as well. Which I thought was strange. And Roman Polanski.
Louis B. Mayer was in there, and
imagine that zombies mode. It's like Harvey Weinstein, Polanski, Woody Allen.
Who would be the Woody Allen? Yeah, Woody Allen, Harvey Weinstein, Roman Polanski, and who'd be your number four in that one? Like, I want to go. Oh,
hey, Louis C.K.
Maybe Louis Asia C.K. Argento or Louis C.K. Yeah,
Asia Argento.
Asia Argento, because you got to have a woman in there.
Oh yeah, and it'd be like the Left 4 Dead 4 person team.
Yeah.
Of zombie killers.
Pills here. Oh, no. Lawyers here.
Oh, Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby.
Oh no. Oh. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not good. Man.
The
you're fighting the woke mob.
Yeah, the Me Too Call of Duty zombies mode.
Yeah.
Weinstein, Louis C.K., Asia Argento, Roman Polanski, and Woody Allen. In an all-new co-op shooter.
It has a built-in twist where you think that Asia Argento is your enemy, and then she joins you partway through.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, it's like Among Us, you know?
she's a little sus.
Yeah, Asia is sus. But then it turns out that she's just like all of you guys.
Okay. Well, that's... Isn't that fun? Isn't that nice? And you could...
Isn't that nice?
You could sell those as skins as well.
Yeah.
Polanski
would have... You got the Anthony Bourdain skin.
Oh, I was thinking of...
Asia Argento.
I was thinking of, like... I think I was thinking of Phil Spector... When I was thinking you could have like Phil Spector and Easy Rider skin, but that's Polanski has some of those similar kind of looks, right? Over the years,
I just learned that in the Asia Argento plays the lead role in the Italian dub version of the game Mirror's Edge. So. But I think that has redeemed her image. She is the voice of Faith Connors in Mirror's Edge.
Real fans.
Or as it's known in... Yeah. What's it
called in Italian?
Italy, it's Merori Argento.
That's her running from the haters. Running from the accusations.
Scusi.
Yeah.
Scusi, parkori sexual harassmentara.
She,
I've got nothing.
Her mission is to grab up a 16-year-old boy and run across the parkour away with him. All right, and you can get...
It's like, it's not, they're not running, it's like driving a Vespa across the rooftops.
Mirror's Edge in Italy is just doing Vespa jumps over, like, quite small historical buildings.
All right.
Yeah. And it's called Consent's Edge. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
the edge of consent.
We've milked that fucking.
Yeah, we got all the blood from that stone. I think. I kind of feel like this whole episode has just been just squeezing a stone as hard as he can. All right.
Let's
squeeze that stone some more.
I can share. We can do another question.
I was going to look at these. I was going to...
Because one of my other notes is pretty weak, to be honest. I've been reading a book about... I've been reading a book about the Donner Party, right? And the story of the Donner Party.
Yeah.
That's and I have...
Cheery story.
I have a note... Yeah, it's really great. It's a really great book. But like, I have a note that just says, the day's Donner Party. And I was going to do a thing about, like...
If they had motorcycles.
A band of... Yeah, or like, yeah, they're trying to get to Sony Santa Monica out west to find a sequel to Days Gone. We'll do another question, though, I think.
The Goner Party.
The Days Goner Party.
Well, just the Goner Party, because they all died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Real Goners. Levi Rubeck did ask the question of, you know, we haven't really ever talked about Fallout on things, aside from a very early episode with, I forget who the guest was, where we did talk about Fallout 3. But maybe just one sentence, since we have talked about Fallout now obliquely. No idea what special means, but what is the general temperature? I think we've probably talked about
Fallout before. I'm a Fallout guy.
Are you?
There was a period in my life where I just like stayed in one room and ate kind of like cooked meats and drank beer and just played Fallout 3 from kind of like 11 a.m. till like 4 in the morning. I think it was literally the best time I've ever had in my entire life. It's just wake up at 11 a.m., eat like deli meats, and then
it's like Tony Soprano.
Drink about, yeah, just eat deli meats and drink beer, and then like maybe as a kind of like token thing, kind of like open the window for a half an hour.
Well, I was gonna say like,
I'd be like, yeah, it's like, oh, I've got my exercise for the day.
Yeah. And then you shut the window tightly.
Yeah, very tightly.
Just to really bake in the sense of your house.
That does.
I had the Fallout 3. Yeah, I just had it like the Fallout 3 wiki open all the time on the computer. Yeah, it was fucking glorious.
Yusuf, after your response,
yeah,
that makes me think of another question. What do you think of Fallout in general?
Wait, that's the same question.
Well,
that's the same question.
Yeah, yeah, no, but only Ed answered.
Okay. No, I mean, it's kind of funny because I do think Fallout 3 came at a time when like everybody was just primed for that game. We were just like, it's not that deep, but it has just enough interactivity and like enough explorability that it could just like suck you in. And like, yeah, I definitely had that experience of just like, yeah, trying to find all the secrets and all the different nooks and crannies of the game. But the thing is, like, I played Stalker.
The wrong order, because
it came out before Fallout 3. But then I was like, oh yeah, this is what I was missing with the Fallout 3 is kind of cutesy faux Americana, like, because it's like, because I could never vibe with the aesthetic of Fallout, because it's just pure rockabilly, which is like something that, you know, it's a very particular thing that I've just never like had any connection to, like, but then with Stalker, I don't know, even though there's no reason why I should have any connection to like Russian bumpkins and like weird Russian like dudes playing guitar and chain smoking cigarettes, like it just works better for me. Like I guess because it's so alien. Maybe the familiarity of Fallout, like, or the way it like samples from like 50s American culture, I'm just like, I don't want that. I don't care if you painted it brown and added like green stuff on top. That was like hitting my radiometer and telling me it's radioactive. Like, I just want, it never fully clicked. And I think it's also because it's like so apolitical for something that like samples from such a political moment, at least like Fallout 3 and up. I haven't played the earlier ones, which I've heard had more of a message.
I've been wanting to play those.
It's called a Geiger counter.
A radiologicer is what I call it.
Geiger counter.
You know the definition of something that tests radioactivity?
Of Geiger counter?
No.
Boss, yeah, Stalker really is like Fallout for cool people.
Yeah,
I never played it, so yeah, I guess I'm.
Oh,
it's
baby.
I like Fallout 3.
We gotta play Stalker.
I really like Fallout New Vegas.
Bullet points play Stalker.
Maybe we do need to do Stalker. Actually, we've never done any of the Stalker
games. Stalker 2. Right.
Yeah, but that means I've got to play the other
Stalkers. No, there's not a linear storyline.
They're like,
how long?
They're all just based off
Stalker games.
In my memory,
they're not that long.
But I don't think they actually are.
Oh, it depends on like how much time you spend doing random side shit.
15 hours.
Just play the first one.
Yeah. We also have to read the book, the short story, and we have to watch the Tarkovsky film.
I've seen the film.
Because you have to discuss
what, those roadside picnic?
Play into it. play some, read some Roadside Picnic, watch some
I stuff. Do actually want to read Roadside Picnic, and I do want to watch
Roadside Picnic.
I've never seen a Tarkovsky movie. That's because I'm uncultured swine.
A little bit of
heard of the library.
Yeah, I've heard of the library.
Yeah, you can watch some Solaris. You can borrow DVDs from that now.
I know. Well, you don't have to tell me. But listen, the thing is, like, I often fall in this trap of I'm like, before I'm going to watch this thing or before I'm going to play this thing, I'm going to get all the background. And I'm getting old. I can't do that anymore. I read fucking Shogun again, for Christ's sake. And that book blows. And it's like 1,500... No, how long is it? It's like 1,200 pages. It's too long. And it sucks. Mm. Sucks ass. And then I started watching the show, and I was like, well, this is better. And I could have just done that.
Well, Roadside Picnic is a short story, so...
Too long. Is it a tweet?
I'll check. Let me check how long to beat.
On Roadside Picnic. How long
to beat the Roadside Picnic. Let me see what happens when you type that. How long to beat Roadside Picnic. Okay, when you type in how long to beat Roadside Picnic, you get a game called Encased, which is apparently a tribute to Roadside Picnic.
So it's probably just and the game steals it.
The game Encased is 26 hours long, so I guess Roadside Picnic is going to be a fucking long ass story, dude.
I think so.
How long to beat on other classic literature?
If the game of the book is 26 hours, then that's going to be a long book.
Yeah, the book is always longer.
What's Of Mice and Men?
I want to be Of Mice and Men. Of Mice.
The problem is the Lenny boss fight.
Okay.
It's really hard.
It's so OP. It doesn't
so OP. Think
so unbalanced.
He's such a bullet sponge.
You have to do like they do with like Rhino in the Spider-Man game. And just like stand in front of a wall. And then he charges at you and you move out of the way.
Maybe one of the saddest endings in the book. Maybe. Of Mice and Men.
What?
Yeah, only because he's OP. Like if they had listened to player feedback,
that's true.
To reader feedback,
that's true.
Yeah,
they would have given Lenny some more muscle. Mass.
They should have nerfed Lenny.
Well, if they nerfed Lenny, then it wouldn't have had to happen, right?
That's what happens at the end of the book. Is George nerfs Lenny?
He debuffs him.
So when you type in how long to beat of mice and men, you get a game called. Of mice and sand.
Oh, that's
wow,
that's good.
Which is 30 hours long. So I guess that's pretty. That's going to be pretty faithful, isn't it? To the book.
Man, this sucks. This sucks so much.
How long to beat Atlas Shrugged?
Wait, hold on. I googled how long to beat War and Peace.
Yeah.
But instead, it told me how long to read it. It's only 37 hours.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
That's a trim 37
that's
hours.
Like a reasonable RPG.
that's not bad.
Isn't that demented when you look at some of these things? Like, you play these video games and you're like, how long would it take me to read notoriously long books? And you're like, not that long, really.
Yeah. Not as long as this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to go down this wormhole.
How long to beat Ulysses?
I bet that actually brings up our game.
300 years?
Yeah, fucking right. There's a game called Ulysses and the Golden Fleece.
Okay.
From 1981.
Oh, okay.
Which doesn't actually have a time on it because not enough people have played it or shared their data.
Oh, like the real Ulysses. It's notoriously... You have to really devote a lot of time.
It's kind of impenetrable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you platinum on that Ulysses.
How long is Gravity's Rainbow? That takes you to Gravity Rush, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Pretty similar.
Very close, very similar.
I just finished reading Thomas Pynchon book that was really good and really short. It's like, yeah, how many of these could I fit in? The amount of time it takes me to play, you know, even like Enslaved Odyssey to the West or something.
Well, that's
I could read
Alex Garland, so it is literature.
Oh yeah, so that's So that's good. I could read like 5 or 6, you know, good books in the time it takes to play Homefront: The Revolution.
Yeah, but it probably won't make you think like Homefront: The Revolution. That's good. I read Gravity's Rainbow. That was a cool book. That's a cool book.
You didn't tell us what you think about Fallout.
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like what I was saying at the beginning is I think, like, I don't know, too glib before, but I think it's like, it's just, it's fine. I don't, like, it doesn't stick with me. And it's like they found that aesthetic and then they're just like, yeah, let's just do this forever. It's a very easy aesthetic to get your attention and then to not want to see much of anymore. But I don't know, I do kind of want, I'm curious about those original Fallout games.
I think Fallout New Vegas has, I think I wrote about this years ago, Fallout New Vegas has an aesthetic beyond the usual Fallout stuff because of the glitches and like the sort of croakiness of the engine becomes like part of how that game looks. It's like uniquely video game.
I know everyone's like gaga over that one, and I do remember liking it.
I think more than definitely any of the latter Fallout games,
go ahead.
It's really open ended, but it's not open ended. Yeah, but it's not open ended in like here's a bunch of stupid ass, you know, worthless junk you can go and do that just fills time. It's more like you can honestly complete this actually quite well written story in just like a vast amount of different ways, and yeah, it is actually rewarding. It's like actually it keeps you kind of on the path, but with a sort of amount of variance that you can really make your own.
Doesn't it open with you getting shot in the head too?
Yeah.
Is it the
main character? Yeah, but then you're fine.
Well, you're fine. Know, sometimes you're okay.
You're shot. Yeah, you're okay.
I've seen.
But children. I was gonna say. Was that? Well, if you get shot in the head in Canada, you'll get the socialized medicine. You'll be fine.
No, but the detractors will tell you that you won't get seen in time because the waiting room's too long. Because the waiting room.
Your hospital won't have high-tech, cool, like, technology
only rooms. If Kill Bill took place in Canada, she would have died in the waiting room.
She would have got him died. Sorry,
go on. New Vegas, I was thinking about... I was trying to think of the aesthetic because I agree that it is like the more innovative one. It's very unattractive, but I wonder if it's unattractive in the same way it's like Pathologic 2. I feel like they're in the same space in my head where it's like I'm playing this game because of what I get to do in it, but looking at it is just unfortunate. I just get really sad looking at it.
I think Pathologic 2 has like a style to it though. Like it,
I think New Vegas does too. Like when people use mods, they to have make a style. New Vegas have a style. Look nice.
Those look like bad.
Whoa! You guys are fucking idiots. You're missing the point.
Yeah, no, it's supposed to look ugly.
I don't like mods. You know, I want to just unless it's like make it run.
Yeah,
I want to see the thing.
Yeah, agreed.
The lineup of guns is pretty bad in New Vegas, so I do drop a few weapon mods on that sucker.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, the guns don't really feel like good shoot.
I have a feeling this is not going to yield very much. But this question from Dan Solberg. Dan is a fantastic writer. I heard a rumor that they're going to put out a remaster of Metroid Prime 2. Thoughts on the Prime games? What would you want from 4? I tried playing Metroid Prime 1, and I was like, this blows. And I stopped playing it.
I've never played any Metroid Prime.
That's what it connects to another question I had in my head that I was going to ask, and I kind of, again, thought that there was no meat in that bone, which is, like, what does Bullet Points think about Nintendo? Because I feel like we're just, like, it's like this weird, it is a black hole in, like, what we normally talk about.
I think back in the day, I wrote, like, in the early 2010 era stuff, I wrote a lot of Nintendo things about, like, just Nintendo sucks, basically. Just because I think they're... And then I was like, oh, I was too hard on Nintendo. and kind of came around. And then I think I'm at the point again now, too, where I think Nintendo is just like, they make toys, and I don't care, basically. And I have no, like, particular animus to them, aside from the fact that I think their, like, nostalgia mongering is, like, distasteful. And they're, like, the closer they get to being, like, the Disney of games, the more I find them, like, reprehensible. But I think they're also capable of making, like, some games that are just, like, feel nice in your hands. But I think they make toys, and it's, like, some... I've always kind of thought that there's, like, a distinction between, like, some games are just, like, good toys, and but that's not what I'm drawn to in games. I want, like, something... I want to feel or think something, and I'm not usually going to get that from what Nintendo wants to make. I think they get away with murder, though, like, in a way that's, like, really sort of, like, modern, like, hyper-fandom stuff, where they just, like, do things that are so, like, not impressive in any way, and then people are just like, but it's what I, like, the colors are right, and I'm happy now, in a sense. Like, I thought that, like, I don't know, like, when they made that, like, Breath of the Wild, it was like, oh, they're doing something actually interesting. Like, I didn't like that game, but it's interesting. Like, they actually made a choice there. And then they're like, and for our next trick, the same thing. Except here's some more toys in it. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, they obviously have all these, like, people who are very good designers, but they're, like, they're engineers, you know? They're, I don't know. And whatever, it's just, it's not... for me necessarily. I think some of the way people like some of the culture surrounding Nintendo is like super embarrassing, but I also I don't really care.
And it's the thing with like Metroid 2 or Metroid, not Metroid 2, but just Metroid in general. Like where it's like what is happening in this game? Like why what is the context of why I'm doing what I'm doing? And like all I ever get is like, look, Samus is a person that goes into a suit.
Yeah.
And then the suit looks different. And then there's aliens. And I need a bit more than that. And I know there's like some story, but it's not a story that I would read or watch a movie of or like care about if it was distinct from the mechanics, which I think is something I kind of generally just like, I also need to distinguish, to make it like, to get bought into the world.
I've heard some stuff about like the first Metroid Prime that makes me think I should try that again. Like just in terms of like atmospheric kind of choices that they make. I tried that one.
Yeah, I think that's point. Oh, sorry to interrupt, but I do think that's like where Nintendo fault. I think that's like the crux of Nintendo.
Bless. Oh my god, bless what was you. That? It was
sorry. That's me sneezing.
He's allergic to Metroid.
Yeah, but no, the crux of Nintendo being that, like, the first games, like, for the NES and all that, and maybe Super Nintendo to some extent, were, you know, limited by technology, and they were atmospheric pieces, and, like, you know, the original Legend of Zelda, like, and that came from a point of view of, like, I'm trying to capture, like, for Zelda, it was, like, the experience of exploring whatever, like, nature, and then even with Metroid, it's, like, kind of the uncanny alien feel, like, kind of... used obviously based on like the movies, but just like what does it feel like to explore like these like uncanny environments. And then once they like get to a point where they could add more detail to it, and then they still don't, but they also add just enough to make it kind of feel cartoony, is where the aesthetic like falls apart for me. Like it needs like when it's like super minimal and like impressionistic, it can work, but like when there's like it's like in this mid-level of like yeah, like, there's more definition to, like, what I'm looking at, but there's not actually, like, more of a narrative or there's not any more attention paid to narrative or themes.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. It makes it seem, like, lopsided. Which is where that toy feeling comes from. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Ed loves Metroid.
There's nothing that that either of you have said that I would disagree with, and I don't really have anything to add. Like my thoughts and feelings are, I'm almost just I look at most Nintendo stuff and think, yeah, that's for kids, and I mean, like, all video games are for kids, but that's for kids, like, even more. It's even more for kids. Mm-hmm. and that's saying something. It's like, you know, I'm like, sitting here playing, you know, I might be sitting here playing, like, I don't know, fucking, like, Doom or something, which is for kids, or Grand Theft Auto, which is, like, for kids. But then there's Nintendo, which is fucking, like, that is for kids,
it's,
right?
It's for babies.
Yeah. It's for little babbies. They make the stupid ass little babby games.
But
I'm a big boy who plays Max Payne.
I got a PlayStation because they have M-rated games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I think though it's like they'll show a Mario and I'm like, yeah, I like Mario, and then I'll play it and I'm like, oh, fuck off. You know, yeah. Like I see it and I'm like, this looks fun. They're very good at like being like, here, look at fun, in a way that I think if Disney didn't like sort of repel me on like a nervous level, kind of, I think that's probably a similar thing that they do to people. But it's like they're good at making things very colorful and bright, and you know, yeah, it's like a mobile for babies, you know, that you hang above their crib. That's not very nice. No, whatever. I don't care. Some people play games because they just want to press a button, you know, and the thing happens, and you press the buttons in interesting ways, and the thing reacts in interesting ways. That's...
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people that are like, it will be like, yeah, Call of Duty is uninteresting because the mechanics are straightforward, and they're not, like, inventive, and there's, like, not a new mechanic at every level.
Which I don't so care it's like, about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just completely about what you want out of the game. Like, if you want, like, an interesting toy, then you have Nintendo.
Yeah.
That makes buzzes and whizzes. This is very reductive.
It's like one of those things that babies, like, they smack them, and there's, like, a star, and then it goes, like, smack the red button, and it goes, and then the baby claps their hands and gurgles. And it's so mean. And Max Payne, on the other hand.
Max Payne, on the other hand, is like Chaucer. Yeah. It's only for real men.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
It's only for me and like four other men.
That's right. Okay, we have to...
I think we're about done here. I think we're about done here. I mean, by which I mean, I want to be done here. because it's 9 p.m.
How about a real real softball to go out on?
To finish things up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
From David New. How do you like your potatoes?
Oh, I'm British. It's chips, isn't it? So, or roast potatoes.
What?
I'm good.
British, so chips.
I mean chips.
I know what you mean. You mean French potatoes. French fried potatoes.
Chips.
No, not fucking French fries.
French.
You don't like French fries?
Yeah, French. I'm freedom fries. About
chips, you stupid Atlantic asshole.
I don't get the difference. French silly fries. French fries dipped in ketchup, chips, mustard.
No, chips are bigger.
They actually are. There is that difference. But then also, like,
yeah, I just want to feel that phallic shape of the potato. Yeah. As you're just chomping down on it, on its girthy.
That's the starchy English mass. Love for it. It's the most warmth they ever feel.
The rest of the world doesn't know how to do chips. They have no idea.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. It's the best I've ever had were in the UK.
It's a very complicated. Very complicated food. Yeah. Yeah,
it's very complicated. Roast potatoes are probably the best, right? You get a good roast, get them seasoned
They're universally pretty fucking strong.
And they go with so many different foods. Like, so many... There's such a great accompaniment. See, this is a common...
That is a fucking softball question.
See, but in this house, sometimes we... There'll be a point of division where I would prefer a roast potato. And on the other hand, a mashed potato would be preferred. And I would always pick a roast over a mash.
Roast over mash, right. 100% of the time. Yeah, there's no
debate. Mash is like, you're like, I'd want to have like something like I want something milkshake.
Oh, don't like, that's not a potato.
That's not a fucking potato. Mashed potato.
Mashed
potato. You want to taste the skin of the potato.
Oh,
you want
but
to taste the salt, the pepper.
The game changer is you mash the potato with the skins on.
But this is just, you know, it's just a sad compromise when you can just be getting the roasted potato.
I feel like mashed potato is a kind of like mushed up entry level. It's the Nintendo of potatoes.
It is Nintendo.
Yeah, because babies can't eat roast potatoes. They're too...
They're too hard.
You need teeth for those.
Yeah, they're too girthy. They're too solid.
They're for real men.
They're for real men.
Yeah.
The roast potato. Bullet point says roast potatoes and Max Payne are for real men.
Yeah.
Only.
Mashed potatoes and Nintendo are for babies.
Yeah.
Whereas...
In our
if you eat mashed potatoes and play Nintendo games, you're a girl. You're a dumb girl. Look at you over there eating your mashed potato and playing your Nintendo games.
Not like
what a stupid girl.
Big strong adult.
Not like as big
boys.
Big strong
big boys.
Oh yeah. with a fruit bowl filled with roast potatoes and Max Payne.
Eating them with their stubby little fingers and wiping them on our bibs and then playing Max Payne. We're not babies, we're big boys.
Bullet Points is a roast potatoes only podcast.
Alright. That was an episode, wasn't it?
Hoo-ah, gentlemen.
Hoo-ah. Another one. Another one in the bag.
No, all right, whatever. That was good.
Yeah.
The potatoes.
Print it, cut it.
All right, thank you.
Shit.
Thank you for listening. This is a free one, right? So don't be a leech. Sign up for the Patreon.
Yeah, if you're listening to this for free, then yeah, go to the Patreon, please, and that'll be at patreon.com/bulletpoints. I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one right there.
I'm gonna go ahead and guess there.
Yep, and if every one of you listening gave just three, what's the tier where I think it's $5 to get podcasts? Oh my god, if everyone who listened to this gave $5. We'd be
would our money troubles be over?
Oh, it'd be all roast potatoes for us from now on out.
I just realized that earlier on you said, I wonder if Michael Mondo would come on the podcast.
Yeah. Why not?
Like, you said it and I heard you say it and I didn't respond to it, and I kind of like put a mental pin in it to be like, come back to that.
Yeah, yeah. I think we don't
try.
We don't have enough guests anymore, so I think we should, you know, he's a local boy.
Yeah.
What if he comes over here, though? What if he recorded at my house and he beat me up? Because
he comes over in full Vass cosplay
and
starts, like, throwing his weight around.
Headbutts me, takes me out to the backyard, buries me up to my neck, like that ad. And I'm like,
this is so cool.
Oh my god, it's Vass.
It's Vass. Vass is stabbing me. This is awesome.
Do the insanity line, Vass.
All right.
Hang on. Oh my fucking god. Wait. One last thing. Do you think he's on Cameo? Can we get Vass to do a fucking
insanity line?
Oh god damn it. He's not on Cameo.
Are you serious?
Who could we get on Cameo to do a like? No, he's not. Who could we get from video games?
David Hayter would be too expensive.
To do like a everyone subscribe to Bullet Points.
What about Arthur Morgan?
Is Max Payne still alive?
No, he died.
Max Payne guy? He did die.
He totally died.
That was actually sad too.
Hang on.
What's Arthur Morgan?
Alan Wake voice actor.
Here we are. Video game actors is actually a category for it. Okay. who could we get to do it? This is what we should be spending. We could get Trevor from Grand Theft Auto 5 to do subscribe to bullet points.
He's not even, he's not bullet. Enough. You know, he shows up in Better Call Saul as well.
Yeah, he does. We could get the guy who plays Woods from Call of Duty.
No. That's the guy that's who plays...
the guy.
Woods is actually good. The guy,
yeah, we could get Woods to do this, like, welcome to Bullet Point. Oh, we could get the guy who plays Kratos wants, like, $500 for one cameo.
Isn't he, like, an actual actor? In that, like,
I don't know.
Gets cast on TV shows?
Yeah, Christopher Judge, yeah, he's been done
shit. Yeah.
Okay, we could, there's Roger Clark.
Mainly just Stargate.
I've got to be honest, like, Woods is winning at the moment because he's...
Like, I think Woods is a really good one.
He's far and away the cheapest.
He's very cheap. He's very cheap. He's very inexpensive.
He's super cheap. Oh no! You know what? David Hayter is not that expensive. He's more than Woods. Don't get me wrong.
He's not that bad. Yeah.
The funniest result would be getting Woods to do it, and then everyone's just like, "Who's this guy?" Like, just be like, why did you get one of your friends to, like, say, subscribe to Bullet Points, you bitches?
We have to get him to do another one to explain who he is.
By the way.
We get him to do a second cameo. By the way, I'm Woods.
You know, from Call of Duty. All right,
I think we need to go a little bit more kind of, like, inside baseball here. I mean, like, Woods isn't bad, but I think we can go more obscure. Like, we could get the guy. Like, we need someone who plays like a total, like, one of the greatest characters in video games.
Kane or Lynch.
Wait, who is Jeff Leach?
I don't know who Jeff Leach is.
What if we went on there and just made up Call of Duty characters that we were?
Yeah,
like I'm called
like
Grinch.
I called like base.
Yeah,
Plays Ghost. He plays Ghost in Call of Duty: Modern Warfare.
Oh,
sweet.
Yeah, no.
Oh shit. Yeah, there is the original Ghost. He's on there. Yeah,
that's not bad. Fuck. I got some ideas here.
Sully. We can get Sully from Uncharted to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think we definitely so. Please give us some money.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of ideas here that need funding. Very important ideas. The original Kratos, T.C. Carson, could also do something.
No.
I bet he's cheaper.
He's old news. Don't you dare talk down T.C. Carson's name.
Rude. Okay. I
will leave bullet points.
What about Roger?
We're going to mind map this one.
Roger Clark is too expensive.
Yeah, we're not made of money.
Who's Benjamin Byron Davis?
It could be if you give us some money.
Benjamin Byron Davis is, he's Dutch Vanderlyn.
Oh.
Arthur, we gotta make a profile on Cameo, Arthur. God damn it, Dutch, we ain't made any proper money on Cameo in months. We're gonna make a Cameo account. Dutch, you gotta see that Cameo's no good.
Yeah, so what do we do? Deborah Wilson.
Yeah, she's available.
But she's
too, like, kind of prestige, whatever.
I'm in the dog days now.
we need like the weird actors that
are
uncomfortable.
We don't want these. We don't want these.
I'm down to like some woman from Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, why were you a video game actor? You're like a bit, you're like in a remake of another game. Like,
yeah.
Some of these actors shouldn't be on here.
Okay, so we're gonna
circle back about this.
Yeah. We need to put this to the Discord. Like, if you want us to get anyone from the world of games, to do a bullet points promotional cameo that we can put on literally everything that we have. Who would it be? And
it's such
a stupid
thing though to do that, you know? It's so low rent.
This is perfect.
No.
And then
God damn
we
it.
Have to also
We've been trying for like 10 years to try and get more people to read the website. If we could get Reed, don't you understand? Stephen Ogg from Grand Theft Auto. could say the name of our website for a mere $150.
What are we doing with that? You know?
We just put it on, I don't know.
What aren't we doing? You could read the whole article and put it on TikTok.
Yeah, we buy like 25 cameos from the same guy to read one of our articles. It costs $2,000.
Wait, why is there a bassist from Foreigner in this section? He plays a Thunderbird, which is what I play though too, so that's nice.
Maybe he's like in a game that we don't know about.
Cool guy. Wait, he was in the glam metal band Dokken?
No, I think we definitely do this, and we play it at the beginning and end of every single episode.
No one's gonna want that.
They will get it. I don't care if they want it.
What if we got someone like a really bad musician? What if we had why do we even have to worry about Cameo? Why don't we just email like Flavor Flav and be like, we'll give you $100.
Do you think Flavor Flav has a device on which he can receive emails?
Someone who knows him does.
He'd be like, yeah, someone will have to show it to him.
It's time for bullet points, boy. And that plays every time. And it has to be like less than 10 seconds.
Yeah, he does the boy at the end. There's a guy here who's from Baldur's Gate 3, and he's spelled Baldur's Gate 3 wrong on his own cameo program.
Hell yeah. That's good stuff. All right, let's shut it down.
We're coming back around to this one. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. Pitch into the Patreon so we can buy cameos.